I was thinking about just opening with a musical number, but then she didn't even do that.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was weird. It's like everybody does that.
She didn't sing about who showed their boobs.
No, she didn't. Maybe it was just like a slow year for boob showing in film.
Because you know she likes it.
Well, yeah. She is of that persuasion. The human persuasion. I think all humans like when other humans show their boobs. What's up? This is Boobies on Up. Some arguments stand the test of time. That is our tagline for this episode. If you think you know what movie that comes from, and I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, I don't think that you know, but if you can figure it out, send your guess to us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can email it right to us. You can tweet your guess at us, at moviesonup on the Twitter, or leave it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup. If you are correct, and if we choose you, you will be the name that we draw for the winner of our prize package, which will be filled with all sorts of great things. Probably no golden statues. Actually, definitely no golden statues because I don't have any to give you. But if I did have a golden statue, I would give it to the award winner for most outstanding co-host of a free movie podcast recorded in this room every week, Mr. Dave Becella.
That's me.
That's you. You won in a landslide. I'm Ryan. We're Movies on Up. It is, I guess, leading up to this past Sunday was Oscar week, so this would be post-Oscar bliss, I guess. Being a movie show, we feel somewhat obligated to talk about the award show to a slightly lesser extent and the awards that were given out at said show. Who's to say we might not even get into an argument or two this week? I'm not going to spoil it. One of us watched the Oscars. One of us is named Dave.
I don't really watch award shows. Like, I'm slightly interested in who wins them, but not, like, super interested. But then I'm really not super
interested. I'm glad you said you're slightly interested in who won them, because that's really what we're doing this entire episode.
Oh, yeah.
So it's good to know that you're borderline not interested in what we're going to do for the next
half an hour. A lot of this is going to be news to me.
Half an hour. Well, that's good. And if it's news to you, we're happy, or I'm happy, to break it to you and let you know who won in case you didn't feel like spending 3.5 hours on a Sunday night watching the Oscars like I did. I got to say, overall, I got nothing against Ellen. I really don't. But I did kind of think it was a boring show. I enjoyed much more McFarlane last year because I just thought at some point somebody might try and beat him up during the broadcast. I never thought anybody was going to try and take a swing at Ellen for, you know, making a joke. I think the worst, like, actual ribbing of any of the nominees she did was when she kind of mentioned that maybe since June Squibb is 84 years old that she can't hear quite so good. That was sort of as risque as Ellen got.
Ellen's very safe.
She is very safe, and I think that's why
Ellen's very fun.
She was the host directly after a guy who was not safe.
She's the anti-McFarlane, kind of.
Yeah, she's the anti-fun.
I enjoy both of them. I enjoy Ellen a lot. I assumed she was going to do a wonderful job, and in my head, she probably did.
Well, in your head, I'm sure she did, because you didn't see it in your eyes and in your ears. Just some kind of random thoughts from me about the Oscars before we really get into the winners and the losers. I am glad that, at the very least, Michael B. Jordan was there to talk about the technical awards that were given away before the taping. I kind of thought it was fitting because Dave and I both kind of feel like with Fruitvale Station, he probably should have been maybe nominated for Best Actor. So him being kind of the host of the Oscars that nobody cares about, I think was fitting because he gave a performance that was sort of swept under the rug in the same way. So it was good to at least see him there on that night. Not quite as good to see Kim Novak. She was a little bit rough, and I'm not even really sure why she was there. I understand Sidney Poitier was kind of a big deal. I believe it was the 50th anniversary of him winning, becoming the first African-American actor to win Best Actor on a night when you had, spoiler alert, the first Latino director to win Director of the Year and the first best picture to be directed by an African-American. So there was kind of a quietly, I guess, sort of a groundbreaking night for the Oscars there. I was very happy to see the two loves of my life seated in pretty advantageous positions. The lovely Jennifer Garner was seated behind the rest of the Dallas Buyers Club folks. So she garnered herself quite a bit of screen time that evening, see what it did there. And sitting right over the shoulder of a not-so-attractive Bruce Dern was the lovely and talented Anna Kendrick, who looked absolutely precious when she went up to present with Gabourey Sidibe. See what I did there? Another pun. Not that you really care. Just kind of random thoughts I had while watching the broadcast. I don't care so much about the awards. I wish the show wasn't 3.5 hours. All I care about is who wins and who loses. So let's just kind of get to that. Dave and I did make Oscar picks at some point quite a while ago.
We don't remember if it was a blog post or an episode we did, but we made them.
We may not have made them available to you, the listening public. And I don't remember who I picked, so I don't remember how I did. I'm going to guess I didn't go 18 for 18 like the Indians closer John Axford did. He picked 18 categories and ran the table. So I'm not sure if he's a good relief pitcher, but he is a good Oscar prognosticator. We'll start off with Best Cinematography. Not a big surprise that Gravity won that. I really hope that we, or at least I don't really care what you did, but I really hope that I picked that because it did seem like a
layup. We both picked Gravity.
Okay.
I think we picked the same thing for almost all of these.
Probably.
So we'll
be pretty close.
That's my overall feeling on the Oscars this year is it was safe. No surprises. I think we were right on most everything except
the big categories. Yeah, I don't think there were a lot of surprises.
I think there was one surprise, which I think we both said would have been our wild card. Not our wild card, but our second winner. Or we might have picked it. I don't remember what we picked. So we maybe got that too. But
so if you don't remember what we picked, how are you going to keep track of these?
I'm not looking ahead because I want it to be a surprise.
Oh, that's right, because you don't know what happened.
We're both one for one.
All right, so let's just stop there, quit while we're ahead, because I'm relatively certain that I did not guess that Gravity would also win for Best Musical Score. I think that was, you made the point that you didn't even realize there was a score in Gravity, so maybe that makes it a really good score. Apparently it was the best.
Well, here's the thing, is I remember picking Gravity for Golden Globes to win the score, and then it didn't, so I didn't pick it for Oscars, but Stephen Price won. Which is cool. He scored Attack the Block, which was my favorite movie a few years ago, and he's going to do the upcoming Ant-Man for Edgar Wright. I believe he did another Edgar Wright movie, either Scott Pilgrim or World's End. But yeah, I mean, it was a cool score, but it's a weird one to give the Oscar to for best score when the DVD has a cut of the movie without the score. But good for him.
I was a little disappointed that Her didn't win that one. I thought the music in that movie was really good, and I didn't think it would win much else. So I was kind of disappointed that they gave it to Gravity, because it did seem like a lot of the technical awards, Lone Survivor was not nominated for much except for the sound editing, and those both went to Gravity. And I thought, you know, I will give you all the visual awards. Sure, the movie, and it should have won those, because it was really beautiful to watch. But the sound editing, I thought that was just people being lazy and like, oh, I can vote for Gravity for this and not have to watch the other ones? Sure. Next category. Next category is the original song. When it comes to music, this is where I think you can cut a lot of time out of the Oscars. I don't need to hear or see performances of all of these songs, but we did, in fact, get performances from Pharrell, that young lady that Travolta couldn't pronounce his name. For the eventual winner, Let It Go from Frozen. I would say that's probably an upset for us.
You know what? Here's my thing. We both picked U2.
Sure.
Because U2 won the Golden Globe.
And they're U2.
And this was before I'd seen Frozen. That Let It Go is a sweet song. There's no way I would have picked against it had I known that song beforehand. So good for Adele Nazeem on her win there. Very well deserved. Better than U2. I mean, I think we just both jumped on U2 because I don't think we realized it was U2 when we picked our Golden Globe winners, and then we realized it was U2. So it's like, it makes sense to pick U2.
I don't remember what I picked in the Golden Globe, but I mean, I hate that Pharrell song. I hate it. It's not that I just don't like it.
I wanted him to get it just because, I like that he was nominated just because I think the music in both Despicable Me movies add a lot to the movie.
The movie's good, but I hate that song.
That song may not be the best one, but I like the work he's done in both of those movies.
Sure.
And I feel like without his music, they're completely different movies. So I like him getting recognition for that. So I'm for it being nominated. Let It Go won.
Yeah.
Deservedly, it's a great song. But big thing on that, Robert Lopez, one of the co-writers of the song, EGOTed with that. Emmy, Grammy, Tony, Oscar,
yeah.
Tony.
Yeah.
So congrats to him.
Bummer,
not many people could say that.
No, not even Tracy Morgan. Bummer to me. I said I really liked the music in her. I would like to have seen Karen O win, and Spike Jonze for writing the Moon song. That was my favorite song of the four nominees. It didn't win, but whatevs. Not that we picked documentary feature, but I'm just going to mention it because when I watched the trailer for this documentary, I thought, boy, this looks cool. And Dave said, that looks stupid. It's your Oscar winner. It's 20 Feet from Stardom, about the backup singers to sort of the more well-known main acts. The animated feature film, really not a giant surprise here. I feel like we both picked this one. It was the Golden Globe winner. It was the aforementioned Frozen, beat out Despicable Me 2, The Croods, Ernest and Celestine, and The Wind Rises. I've seen two of those.
I've seen three. Loved two of them. Or I love Despicable Me.
Right.
I wasn't too super into Frozen, but it's not a surprise. I'm just not into those that musical of a Disney movie because it felt like a classic,
right? A Disney
classical
movie.
But I mean, it was entertaining enough, and that song was sweet. So, not surprising. Like as much as I love Despicable Me, was not surprised to see Frozen win this.
We'll get to the writing categories, which are two that Dave cares an awful lot about. So it's surprising that he doesn't know who won. We'll go with original screenplay first. This was, I think, kind of a tough call. I don't know if either of us got it right, but because Her was screwed out of the music categories, I'm very glad that Spike Jonze did win for original screenplay over American Hustle, Blue Jasmine, Dallas Buyers Club, and Nebraska.
We actually both picked Her.
Oh, good.
I think for the same reason, that it didn't get some of the bigger awards, and this was...
wasn't even nominated for
this
some
was
of the bigger
the
awards.
Biggest, that's what I mean, is it didn't get nominations for it. This was the biggest award it could have won, and it did.
I guess it could have won Best Picture. It didn't. Spoiler alert. This was, in fact, Her's one and only win. So at least that movie won an Oscar. I think I like it less and less the more I get away from it, but at least it won an Oscar. And cool that Spike Jonze... I believe it was his fourth nomination. Three of them were this year, so at least he didn't take an offer. Adapted screenplay. This one I feel like we absolutely did call. John Ridley, 12 Years a Slave, beat out Before Midnight, Captain Phillips, Philomena, and The Wolf of Wall Street.
I picked this right.
No.
You picked The Wolf of Wall Street. This is one of the rare ones that we agree on.
I think that The Wolf of Wall Street was a better screenplay. I was more entertained by it, but I'm not going to complain. The 12 Years won. Fair enough. And at that point in the evening, it really hadn't won a whole lot. To that point, I was thinking, Jesus, they got to give them something. So they did. Very good. Good actress in a supporting role. I mentioned where 12 Years a Slave really hadn't won anything. And this was, if it was going to win an acting trophy, it would have been for actress in a supporting role, and it did in fact go to Lupita Nyong'o, who beat out Sally Hawkins from Blue Jasmine, Jennifer Lawrence, American Hustle, Julia Roberts from August, Osage County, and June Squibb from Nebraska.
And just a second ago I said, like, oh, maybe there's one category we didn't get. I was thinking this one. We actually both picked Lupita Nyong'o, and I think our reasoning was Chewie's not going to win 12 Years a Slave, and you can't not give that movie an acting award.
For me, I'm not even sure if I was convinced she was going to win. Because I didn't think she was going to. I wanted her to, and that's why I picked her. Yeah, for that very same reason that we didn't think Chewie was going to win. That movie was too good. Cast in general, it was too good not to win something, so it did. And she was lovely up there on the stage.
Oh, I didn't see that. I saw her on Ellen the next day.
And she seemed like really kind of a fun girl. When they were passing around the hat for the pizza, she just dumped in some lip gloss and was like, there you go, man. That's all I got. Not all we got. We'll go to the best actress in a leading role, a category that I think I would have flipped a table if Sandy Bullock did win. She did not. The winner was Cate Blanchett for Blue Jasmine. She beat out the aforementioned Sandy Bullock, Amy Adams, Judi Dench, and Meryl Streep.
We both picked Amy Adams. So we did miss that one. Cate Blanchett won the Golden Globe, and we went against that and went with Adams. I would do it all again.
Fair enough. Actor in a supporting role, I believe this was the first award that was given out, and it probably should have been, because I think of all the awards in the entire night, this was the biggest slam dunk. Forget it. I know we both called Jared Leto for Dallas Buyers Club, who beat out...
I called it from the trailer of Dallas Buyers Club.
Sure. Beat out Barkhad Abdi, Bradley Cooper, Michael Fassbender, and Jonah Hill. Honestly, everybody else, really, really good performances. But Leto was so far and away that there was no way he was not going to win that one.
No, that was a slam dunk. It was a slam dunk at the Golden Globes. It was a slam dunk at the Oscars. That is the kind of performance that the Academy eats up.
Sure.
And it's fine, because it was a fantastic performance. And I love all the other performances. I'm a big Jonah Hill fan, Michael Fassbender fan, Bradley Cooper fan. You know, Barkhad Abdi was great in that movie. I love all these actors, but Jared Leto just blew them all away. I mean, it was one of the finest acting performances of the year, far and away.
Kind of the ironic part about it is it may not even have been the best acting performance in that movie. That, in fact, was, I believe, turned in by Jennifer Garner. I kid. The best actor in a leading role. This one was, I think, pretty much down to Chewie and McConaughey. And really, since 12 Years a Slave was announced, I think we both kind of thought, oh, Chewie's winning an Oscar for this. And that's it. Like, mail it in. And I really feel like we just came off the Winter Olympics, so I'm going to use an Olympics analogy. It's kind of like figure skating. When the second-to-last figure skater goes, turns in like a 9.9, you're thinking, all right, that's going to win the gold medal. And then you have the last skater come out, boom, 10. Good night, game over. And that's what happened with McConaughey. The dude was tremendous. Any other year, honestly, any other year, I think Edge of Four wins, and it's probably not even close. But this year, McConaughey was a 10.
Yeah, and just to how you have the best actor and best supporting actor winner in the same movie, but not get a best director nom,
yep,
is mind-blowing. Not even be, I don't ever think it was even really, I got a nomination, but I don't think it was ever really a player for best picture, which is fine. I
don't know how it wasn't, how it could not be.
Yeah, so I mean,
we'll get there.
It was a weird, weird dynamic of this movie, but well-deserved. McConaughey and Leto more than deserved it. I love the turn of McConaughey's career, which this has been coming. It's not like he came out of nowhere and won an Oscar.
Right.
His last two and a half years have been phenomenal. Like, he's been doing great stuff. So I like that it capped off here and that he's not a joke anymore. He's
no,
a laughing stock.
Oscar. He's Academy Award
he's
winner
gonna
Matthew McConaughey.
He's going to be a Golden Globe winner by next year for not Golden Globe, Emmy Award
winner.
Yeah,
for True Detective.
Yeah, he's going to win for that. So he'll be the EG.
I was going to say he'll be halfway to the EGOT.
Yeah, so he needs a Tony and a Grammy. Oh, God, I want to see Matthew McConaughey release a rap album just to win that Grammy.
All right. All right. That's. I feel like that's what Matthew McConaughey would say.
Throw your shirt in the air.
Best picture, in case you happen to care. 9 films. There was room for a 10th. I think we both were really pushing kind of hard. Not that anybody from the Academy listened. Last year, there were a ton of great movies. This year, I mean, yeah, Dallas Buyers Club, I think, was really, really good. A couple of these were really, really good. But I think that, you know, you could have had a 10th. Lone Survivor, I think, would have been nice to put in there. But the 9 movies that you did have, 12 Years a Slave, American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, The Wolf of Wall Street. When 12 Years a Slave was announced, I thought, okay, you're going to have probably a couple acting winners. You're going to have Best Director. You're going to have Best Picture. Like, this was set up to be that kind of a movie. You got one of those. When it came down to the final award of the night, I picked 12 Years a Slave. I was rooting for 12 Years a Slave, but I really didn't think it was going to win. Kind of watching the momentum from Gravity all night, I thought, good God, they really gave... I felt like they gave Gravity Awards it wasn't even nominated for. I think it won Best Picture next year. I was really kind of preparing myself to see Gravity win, but it didn't. It did go to 12 Years a Slave. One of the very few moments that Ellen had all night that I actually appreciated was right at the top of the show when she said there's pretty much two outcomes. Either 12 Years a Slave wins Best Picture or you're all racists. That got a little bit of a chuckle out of me, and it turns out we're not all racists because that was the Best Picture of the year.
Yeah, and this was a good year for the Oscars. I mean, all nine of those cats, like,
they're solid.
I liked them all. Like, I didn't love them all. I loved a lot of them. I liked them all. I mean, Captain Phillips to me was the weakest, and that's a good movie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really good movie. And I mean, my Paul Greengrass hate may factor into that, but I love, you know, like, I liked Gravity for what it was. I loved 12 Years a Slave. I loved Wolf. I loved Her. You know, I liked American Hustle. I loved Dallas Buyers Club. I liked Philomena, Nebraska enough. Like, this was a solid year, and it's just, what was it, 2 or 3 years removed from just a week. Like, last year was fine, but
I thought was really good.
But 2 years ago, it was like War Horse, and I don't even remember what won that year because it was such a, it was War Horse, Hugo, just a bad year for movies. This year was really good because those Best Pictures, they're not just Oscar-y movies. They're not just, like, movies that are begging for Oscars. Like, they're really good, legitimate movies.
It would be more effective to ask this question 5 years from now. But when you think of 2013, you know, what is kind of the movie that's going to jump out? I mean, we kind of point to, like, 94 as maybe a year that, yeah, sure, there's nothing wrong with Forrest Gump. That's a fine movie. But Shawshank Redemption did not win.
Pulp Fiction was 94?
But I mean, is this going to be a year, 2013, when, okay, 12 Years a Slave won, and it's a good movie. It's a deserving Best Picture winner. But is it going to be a year where we think, oh, that was the year that Dallas Buyers Club did not win?
No, because I don't think it's as good as Dallas Buyers Club is. It's not Shawshank Redemption. It's not Pulp Fiction. I don't think it's going to have that impact. I think
I wouldn't say it's as uplifting as Shawshank Redemption, certainly.
But it's, I see your point to an extent, but I don't think that's a problem. Because, like, Wolf of Wall Street, okay, it's a Scorsese movie. There's a lot of great Scorsese movies that didn't win.
Sure.
That's probably the biggest ripoff of the night. Like, it didn't get a lot. Gravity, it's going to go down as, you know, it was a technical thing. It made a lot of money, won a lot of Oscars. It's got its place in history. It didn't need the Best Picture. Buyers Club, it took Jared Leto, the dude from 30 Seconds to Mars, and Matthew McConaughey, the dude from Romantic Comedies, and made them Oscar winners. So it's got its place in history. Like, I feel like everything here, like Nebraska and Philomena, like, they're good to be there, but they don't really have a
place.
Thanks
for coming. Here's your
gift basket. Kinda. And like Captain Phillips, it's like, oh, Tom Hanks led movie. That makes sense. But like, I think everything here that needs a place in history has its place in history, because if 12 Years a Slave doesn't win this Oscar, where's its place in history? If that makes sense. Like,
it goes down as Best
Picture winner.
Right.
If it doesn't, it's a great movie. It's an impactful movie, but what did it really leave behind? Like, what mark did it make? So I love that it won, because I do love Steve McQueen. Steve McQueen's been doing awesome stuff, and I love Chiwetel Ejiofor ever since he played the operative in Serenity. So it's good to see him, like, get the recognition, and he does need to be a bigger star, because everything he's done, he's been amazing in. And I've watched The Shadow Hour. It's a British miniseries from a few years ago. He is, if you doubt Chiwetel Ejiofor's acting chops, watch that miniseries. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, don't worry about watching the Best Picture from this year.
That also, that I meant, so it's not just a flash. It's not just, oh, right role, right time. No, this dude can act, and he had a great director to work with, a great cast to work around him, and the movie made its mark, and I'm glad it walked away the winner. As much as I love Quarren, Gravity, I said, it's going to get the Best Picture nom. I don't think it was ever a player for a winner. The awards it won, I feel like it deserved. Like, it was fine. Maybe, you know, maybe the sound ones, maybe not so much, but other than that, like, everything that had its I think everything has its place. Like Dallas Buyers Club, it's not going to be forgotten because of the acting.
Oh, no, I don't think it's going to be forgotten. I was just wondering if this was going to be the year. We have, done a list. Years the Oscars got it wrong.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering if after 5 years, we're going to think, yeah, you know what?
Because, you know, the Oscars didn't fall into I like the last 2 years because they haven't been the Oscars that we're used to. Best Director and Best Picture for 2 years in a row have not been synonymous. And I love that because Best Director doesn't always mean Best Picture. Last year's Best Picture didn't even get nominated for Best Director. So I like that they're looking at it differently that way. And Forrest Gump sticks out because Forrest Gump was good. It had its place, but Shawshank and Pulp Fiction left that night without really having a mark. I think Pulp Fiction might have won for screenplay. Or
it's possible.
They might have both, but yeah, I mean, Forrest Gump walked away with Best Actor and Best Film. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I feel like that was more of a ripoff. Because even at the time, like, that was a weird year. Like, those movies were great that it was going up against. This year, I feel like everything, I don't think there were many surprises, but I feel like everything went, I feel like there were no surprises because I think everything went the right way.
I will agree with half of that statement when we get to the last category. Not the last that was given out, but just the last I wanted to talk about, was Best Director. This wasn't a surprise, but I don't think it was right. You talked about Steve McQueen doing a great job with 12 Years a Slave, and the fact that, and I'm guilty of this, the director from Dallas Buyers Club, we made a point during our Golden Globe episode to say his name, and whether it was Jared Leto or McConaughey, when they did their speeches, and rightfully so, they made sure to acknowledge the director who didn't get acknowledged by even being nominated for Best Director. And that's kind of the fish stinks from the head in this category. He wasn't even nominated. Alfonso Cuarón was nominated along with Steve McQueen, Alexander Payne, David O. Russell, Martin Scorsese. I mean, they're all... Martin Scorsese, obviously an established name. He comes out with a very good movie. Of course, he's going to get a nomination. I'm not saying he deserved it or he didn't, but I get that one. David O. Russell's been a very hot name, especially recently at the Oscars. Okay, yeah, I'll give you that too. I'm not upset that Alexander Payne got nominated for Nebraska. Maybe that's sort of a lifetime achievement for him, I guess.
Yeah, but he's the outsider as far as I'm concerned. Like, yeah. I would... Dallas Buyers Club should be there instead of him.
He's the one I would take off, yeah.
Yeah, he's absolutely the one. Because, I mean, going by, you know, Steve McQueen, Best Picture, acting nominations in three of the main categories. David O. Russell, acting categories acting nominations in all four.
Yeah.
Gravity, only one real actor got the nomination in there. And then Scorsese, two acting noms. So, you know, Dallas Buyers Club deserves to be there. Because Nebraska, yeah, Best Actor nod, but I feel like...
Best Actor, Best Supporting. June Squibb was nominated.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Squibb, yeah. So, I mean, it was a good year. Like, it is one of those where, like, yeah, he deserved, but it is hard to take any of these away. Like, I would take Payne off just because of the movie. I mean, watching the movies. Like, it's hard to argue that McQueen or Russell or Cuarón or Scorsese or even Payne, like, he deserves to be there, but... I feel like that's the biggest gyp this year, but it's hard because, you know, everybody else deserves to be there.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, you're really arguing who deserved it more. And I think as angry as I am that Alfonso Cuarón won for Gravity, I probably would have been even more upset had there been a nomination for Dallas Buyers Club, because I don't know how you could have had two actors win for their performances and not win for Best Director. But that's kind of what I kind of want to ask about. Like, Cate Blanchett said, she wasn't really talking about my point in her speech, but she mentioned that you know, just winning the Oscar was sort of just kind of random. She said the word random and subjective. And sure, all of these awards are subjective. There isn't a scorecard that you can fill out and say, well, this movie scored a 95, this movie scored a 90, so the 95 wins. But I understand what the best, you know, the actress in a leading role is. I know what you win for doing. I understand what best cinematography is. And absolutely, Gravity had the best cinematography this year. No question. But directing, I don't think I understand what that award is for.
Because I don't think they've been consistent with it. I think the last couple of years, I think this year and last year, with Lee
Life of Pi,
winning for Pi, yeah. I think it's starting to become more. I mean, they could throw it all away next year. Because it used to be Best Director was that you directed the picture that won Best Picture. And I think that was the only because very few times it had been different. Like Soderbergh won the year, I believe it was 2000, because he had two nominations for Best Picture, I believe it was. I think they're going towards, okay, we're going to look at the movie as a whole. Quarren put this team together that won six other Oscars.
A lot of technical stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, he's essentially like the foreman or the boss, but I have no problem with Quarren winning. And that's not just because Children of Men is one of my three favorite movies ever. I think what he did as a director was phenomenal. He took you to space. Like, he took you to a different world and made it feel real. And not saying, you know, I mean, Scorsese created his world. Alexander Payne took you into a different kind of world. I mean, everybody here did, because David O. Russell, absolutely phenomenal. Say what you will about American Hustle, because it seems to be that seems to be the punching bag this year of getting a lot of hate.
And I was a little disappointed with it.
I didn't love it as much as I wanted to. Right. I still enjoyed it, but it took you to a different time. And yeah, the set design and costume design were great, but that's all, you know, none of those pass without David O. Russell saying, like, that's exactly what I want. So I think the collecting of the team and the Life of Pi thing last year with all everything going on, you took this.
But Life of Pi didn't sweep the technical awards like Gravity did
this
year.
No, it also put a technical company out of business, but that's for a whole other time. But he took this actor that nobody knew and put him on screen alone and made a very compelling movie that did decent at the box office, got a lot of talk. He adapted a book that was unfilmable and made a competent adaptation of it. So, you know, Gravity is very similar in that it's somebody alone, although Sandra Bullock is no guy from Life of Pi.
That dude.
But he took it, and he took you to a different world. And as hard as it is for Sandy Bullock to be compelling on screen by herself for 80% of the movie for that long, it's just as hard for the guy calling the shots to keep one person compelling, because Sandra Bullock can act her ass off, but without everything else, you know, it's just Sandra Bullock in a pod, which it wasn't. And I'm all for Quarren winning, and I feel like it's deserved. I feel like in the technical stuff was worth it, but I wouldn't have given it screenplay. I wouldn't have given it Best Picture. But, I mean, at the end of the day, he made a movie that a ton of people saw, a ton of people loved, and it was a well-made movie.
So you would have been okay with James Cameron winning for Avatar?
No.
Essentially, the he made this world. It won a bunch of technical awards.
But it wasn't
a
good movie.
Money. It was nominated for Best Picture.
It's nominated for Best Picture from a technical standpoint, but I think that's all it brought was, oh, this is pretty to look at. Gravity was more than that. Gravity was more than an experience. Life of Pi was more than just, oh, it's pretty to look at. Comparing Avatar to him, like, he created new technology. That's great, but I didn't feel it warranted. I mean, you had one of the most boring leading men in history. You know, the acting wasn't there. The script was terrible. The story was dumb. Like, yeah, it looked great. Give it technical awards if you want. But from a directing standpoint, no. It's completely different than what I'm saying Quarren and Lee did.
So it's the sum, I guess, maybe the sum is greater than the whole. It's the fact that you were able to put together, make the best product, right? Put everything together to make the best product. That means that you're the best director, right?
Not necessarily best product. I mean, the MVP isn't always on the World Series champ, you know? Like,
no, but MVP and Best Director are, I guess, not the same thing. An MVP might be, you know, the actor or actress, like one performance on a team. The Best Director would be more like maybe Coach of the Year, I guess, if that's what even a director is. I can't really wrap my brain around the fact that if you're saying a director is responsible for the look of the film, well, there's an award for that. It's Best Cinematography, which Gravity did win, sure. If you're saying that the director is responsible for the performances, well, there are awards for that, too, actor, actress, you know, leading and supporting. which, I mean, it really could only have won one. It didn't win it, but that doesn't mean that it's, you know, a terrible movie. But if it's kind of the sum of the parts equals the whole, you have 12 Years a Slave that did win. So that is the best film of the year, which is what the Academy's saying. Do I agree with that? Maybe not. But if you're saying that's the best film of the year, somehow it managed to do that with a director, Steve McQueen, that was less than Alfonso Cuarón. So somehow 12 Years a Slave was able to scratch and claw and overcome a, I don't want to say a substandard performance, because he was nominated for Best Director. So does, that can't
be. So you think they should be synonymous? You think Best Director and Best Film should be the same thing?
I need clarification, I guess. Not that I'm going to get it.
Do you think Ben Affleck was the best directing performance last year?
No, I don't think that Affleck should have won Best Director because Argo won, because I didn't think Argo was the best picture. But then again, I didn't think that Life of Pi was the best picture, and Ang Lee did win. So I guess I need to somehow figure out exactly what it is that makes the best director the best director, because I don't get it.
I just think having the word best is confusing, because I can watch a movie and I can, like, personally, from how I watch movies, I can watch movie A and think, oh, I like this movie a lot better than movie B. But movie B, I thought, was a much better directing job. Whether it's the point that movie A was just more point and shoot and they didn't do anything different. I guess what I'm saying is it's more, I'm more impressed by creating space and taking me to space and keeping one person on screen for all that time and keeping me on the edge of my seat. Not just compelled, but keeping me right there where I'm engaged 100% with everything. I'm in this new world. I think I'm more impressed with that than 12 Years a Slave. Do I think 12 Years a Slave is a better movie? Yeah, I like 12 Years a Slave more than Gravity. Do I think Steve McQueen's directing job was better than Cuarón? Probably not. I think what Cuarón did as a director was more impressive than what Steve McQueen did as a director.
But there
not to take away Steve McQueen, though.
But what the things that Gravity did, the things that Cuarón did visually, they were already recognized. The best visual effects, best cinematography. Those awards are based solely on the space that was created. And I did think those were deserved. But what's the point in handing out those if you're going to give Best Director for the same thing? You know what I mean? It seems like you're being somewhat repetitive. I guess I don't know everything that goes into director. And until I can wrap my head around that, I may never agree with the Best Director, unless it's the guy that won Best Picture. Because at least then I can say, yeah, all right, he directed, he was the head of the best movie. I guess that, to me, that's the only way it actually makes sense.
See, and I just, I like that.
And maybe that's repetitive or redundant.
And I'm not saying that I never want the director of Best Picture to win Best Director ever again, because that's not what I mean. But it doesn't have to be synonymous. And these last 2 years have proven that it doesn't have to be. So I like.
Did you agree with Ang Lee last year, though?
I didn't disagree. I liked.
No, you didn't.
From a directing standpoint, I liked Zero Dark Thirty, how it was directed. I thought that was a beautiful, like, directed film. I thought the performances were great. I thought the shifts in time, the following of the story. So I wasn't as impressed with Life of Pi as I was Zero Dark.
But Life of Pi, to use your Gravity argument, I mean, you compared those two very comparably, and then it was more of maybe a point and shoot. Now, granted, there was much more camera moves in Zero Dark Thirty than there was in 12 Years a Slave, sure, but not as much as Life of Pi or Gravity. If we're comparing those two, unless we can be consistent and you can say, for the reasons that Cuarón won this year, Lee should have won last year, or vice versa, until that argument makes sense, I don't understand how the entire award makes sense. Not that maybe any of these do. That's just the one that is always confounding to me. Usually when I see the best actor, I know it. When I saw McConaughey, I knew he was going to win, and he should have won, and I'm glad he did. Cinematography, I can see that. I can say, from looking at the trailer of Life of Pi, I can say, that's going to win best cinematography because it's beautiful. Same thing about Gravity. Absolutely should have won. maybe that's why I get so upset. There are categories that I understand, and they make a lot of sense to me. Director never does, and it probably never will. So every year we do this. It doesn't matter who they pick. I'm going to bitch because I don't understand.
You should also bitch because the final tally, Ryan, 8 correct choices. Dave, 9.
What are you going to do?
Speaking of winners, though, we're going to wrap up. We play fantasy film ball every year.
For the past two years.
Starts in September, and it goes, you know, any movie release. Or actually, we do it in August, I believe. It's basically a movie release between September and December. You get points for box office and awards. The point layout this year was 1 year, or you get 1 point for every $10 million made domestically up until January 31st, and then 2 points for every Oscar or Golden Globe nomination, and 3 points for every Oscar or Golden Globe win. We're not going to spend a lot of time just to reset. Ryan and I had a draft. I ended up going first. My movies were American Hustle, Hunger Games, Catching Fire, Frozen, Gravity, and Monuments Men, which got bumped back to January. So I was going in with 4 movies. Ryan ended up with 12 Years a Slave, Wolf of Wall Street, The Fifth Estate, The Hobbit, Desolation of Smaug, and Rush. Ryan, Fifth Estate and Rush kind of killed him. He ended with 115.3 points. I had a juggernaut in Gravity, and then American Hustle, Frozen, and Hunger Game were all respectable choices. I got 231.9, so I doubled your score. As far as listeners, we're going to do, since the Olympics just ended, we're going to do bronze, gold, and the other one, silver. Coming in third, Westy, Jason West, picked The Wolf of Wall Street, 12 Years a Slave, American Hustle, Hunger Games, very strong, and then Walter Mitty was his wild card, which, that's a movie we haven't talked a bunch about. I love the shitty out of Walter Mitty. I thought that movie was phenomenal. It kind of went under the radar this year. I'm not a big Ben Stiller fan, but I thought it was great. Those were his 5 choices. He got 180.2 points. Tyler Moliterno, listener, 12 Years a Slave, Frozen, Wolf of Wall Street, Inside Llewyn Davis, and American Hustle, all very solid. Llewyn Davis was probably the biggest disappointment.
Got a lot of nominations.
Yeah, 205.8. It actually only ended 5 points behind Wolf of Wall Street. So that was a solid showing. But the difference maker, Eric Hawkins from Canton, Ohio, American Hustle, Wolf of Wall Street, Hunger Games, Catching Fire, Thor, The Dark World, and Gravity. A big difference maker is Gravity. It scored 78.4 points. American Hustle was second overall with 56.4. So he ended with 226.8 points. So Eric Hawkins is the 2013 Fantasy Film Ball champion, or 2014. Whatever we picked in 13.
Yeah, I think if 14. We do it like sports, I guess he would be the 13-14 champ. How about we just do that? Because okay, we don't really have to make a decision. I don't know what you win for Fantasy Film Ball. It's
a great prize package.
All right. Hearty congratulations. So we need to get some contact information for Eric Hawkins so that by the time we do Fantasy Film Ball again, you may have a prize package. By the time somebody beats you for your crown, you will have received the crown from this year. So
yeah,
at the very least, you get a hearty congratulations from Dave and I.
But I liked Film Ball this year. I know you think I stacked it in my favor, but it made – last year it was stacked way heavily towards the awards. I think it was 5 points for every nomination and 10 points for every win. Gravity would have had like 400 points.
Gravity would have got out of hand very quickly.
Yeah, so I think this, because you had like Hunger Games wasn't a factor in the awards season, but it had 44.1 points compared to, say, you know, Wolf of Wall Street that made money and got awards at 27.4, whereas last year Hunger Games wouldn't have been a factor at all. So,
and that's the world that I prefer to live in, where Hunger Games and Twilight are not a factor.
So maybe we might tweak it again next year.
I'm sure. We tweak everything
all
the
time.
Because we're bored.
Because we are
tweakers.
Tweakers.
We're going to tweak you one more time with an episode coming up this week. It is a genre that is near and dear to Dave's heart and feet. It is our favorite sword and sandals movies.
Bet you can't guess what my number one is.
I bet you can't, because it's not a sword and sandal movie. But nonetheless, it is Dave's favorite in that genre.
He has a sword on the poster.
Well, there you go. Scour the internet, and maybe you can figure it out. Or just wait like a day, and then it'll be up. So check back with us later on this week for our top five favorite sword and sandal movies. If you just can't wait till tomorrow, or even right now, depending on when you listen to this, if you can't wait for more Dave Bacella, you can get at him in the following ways.
At Dave Bacella on the Twitter, DaveBacella.com. Facebook.com/Eric and Dave is my other show, Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. That's EricandDave.com, Eric with a K. Find more us at Twitter, at Movies on Up, Facebook.com/Movies on Up. We had a staff meeting, and we're going to get on our social media people to actually do more stuff on Twitter and Facebook, because we don't do anything
and
on Twitter
and
Facebook.
And they really need to start earning their pay.
Yeah, so me and Ryan are going to work hard on actually making our Facebook and Twitter relevant and having content on there. So that's that.
Look forward to that, too.
Yeah, and maybe we'll do blogs again. If we do, we'll share it through the Facebook and Twitter. So we are Movies on Up, and until next episode later this week.
Or the next episode you listen to, keep it up.